Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth. We'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Yes, and we're actually both here. This
is okay, rub it in. She made me call 5 minutes early, and I'm sitting there listening to dead air.
Yeah.
Hello? Anybody there?
I hadn't called yet. That was wrong.
Oh, like, you're going to be there.
Yeah.
5 minutes before.
We're still working out so many kinks. Like, the intro is lower than we want, so we'll have to keep fiddling with that. But we'll get there eventually. So
no.
But no, welcome back. And
hey, if you're here, you're probably used to us, though.
So. Yeah, I know. If they're here, they're probably like, we expect nothing less. Really, guys. Yeah. Oh, and for everyone out there, you can call in and talk to us at 646-595-3998. That's a New York number, so long-distance charges will apply. Or you can, if you have a microphone on your computer, get on Internet Explorer, you know, hop on our page for the radio show here. You can find it through the Raven website, and press that orange click to listen or talk, but I don't know what it is.
It's orange.
Supposedly it works, so...
Yeah, and you should be able to call us that way.
Right, right.
So, and that would be a free phone call, which is perfect for international listeners.
Right.
We're trying
right.
to find a way to get you guys on here.
A free computer call, yeah.
Yeah, without charging you
right.
long distance. So anyway, we are back. Happy Halloween to everyone.
Yes. Yes.
May you have lots of candy.
Yes.
I know I'm going out for some. Actually, I'll just wait till tomorrow when it all goes on sale.
Yeah. We
less work going to the store than going from house to house.
Yeah, a bunch of kids already came past already. They had it earlier here. So, yeah, and it was really, really light out, too. I was like, well, that sucks the joy out of it. I remember being terrified to go up to places when I was little. You know, it was all dark out, and then somebody had one of those smoke machines going, and their teenagers were dressed in masks, and I was like, yeah, your candy, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go out trick-or-treating, and if they say anything to me, I'll just start crying and be like, I'm sensitive about my height.
Oh,
my fourth grade teacher says I'm okay.
Yeah, I would pelt you with candy, but then you'd still get the candy in the end, so it'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with either. Yeah.
And a few
it all works.
I got some Tootsie Rolls.
In the end, it comes back. Well, speaking of the new radio shows, that kind of a funny story. I was listening to our first, you know, live radio show, you know, kind of listening for kinks or whatever of the sound quality of it. And it was late at night. And we had, you know, been talking about, you know, like ghost hunters and my obsession with Taps right now. And I swore when I was listening to it that there was like EVPs in the background, which is, you know, the electronic voice phenomenon thing that you can sometimes pick up.
Right, right.
What were they
saying to us? You two are seeing.
Well, you know, I heard like this, like it sounded like whispering in the background, and I was like, oh my God, that is so freaky. And I was like listening, trying to listen past our voices and getting, you know, kind of freaked out until I realized that my allergies had probably kicked in. And I think one of us was just breathing in a little too hard.
I actually sneezed right before this was going to go live, and it says it records the first 2 minutes prior to it. And I'm sitting there sniffling and sneezing on this, so everyone's going to hear me.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny because, you know, it was just like this light breathing in the background.
Yeah. No, you know, we probably do. We probably have, you know, we're being haunted on our radio show. That would be great. And we have gossip ghosts because that's what we would get stuck with.
Yeah.
Like those, like, nitpicky little girls in high school that got on your last nerve. Yeah, we'd have those.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that I was freaking myself out because it was late at night and I was listening to it going, we caught something. I'm just going to assume it's at Mandy's house. She gets all the cool things.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do have that sign in the front door. Everyone welcome, dead or alive. Yeah. Well, I actually have a mortuary sign above my desk.
You know, I saw this at the store, and
yes.
I just thought of you. I was like,
I got a crematory one on
Christmas
the bathroom
taken
door
care
here.
Of. Mandy's birthday is done.
Yeah.
I've got your presents for, like, the next 10 years lined up.
I'm
going to
start getting, like, super heavy boxes from people who have, like, stolen signs off of me. And you know what? I'm not ashamed. I'll keep them. Yeah.
Like, I didn't take them.
I don't know. Like, I can
play
match the graveyard.
Stolen items is still a crime.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, no, I mean, the EVP thing. Have you ever had any kind of experience beyond that with it? Or?
No, I don't do the EVPs.
Yeah.
But
well, we're going to talk a little bit about it next week, I think. So
yeah, we're going to. about EVPs and why you should or shouldn't do them. And
right.
But no, I just thought that was funny because I was listening to it, and, you know, this being our second live show, it's funny. Michelle weenied herself out.
Yeah. You're going to hear this thing when you play it back later. Yeah, it's going to be really ugly, and you'll know it's from my side, too, because it'll be like, you know, picking on you. It'll be like, you, blonde girl. Like, oh, yeah, that's Mandy's ghost, yeah. But yes, if anyone has any experiences with them, definitely email in or call in next week, whatever you want to do, because we'll read your experiences online if you're not comfortable calling in. You know, we completely understand, hey, you know, we're not exactly comfortable doing this yet.
Yeah, no, we'd love to have you. And if you have, like, EVP experiences or, you know, just questions or ideas, email them to us before the show, and we'll try to get you answers.
Right.
But anyway, we're in the middle of our kind of Halloween celebration, and we do have some more ghost stories, personal, real-life ghost stories from authors for you. The first one today is from Kim Sullivan, whose website is payosbornsullivan, all one word, .com, and she works with Medallion Press. And here's her story, and she says names have been changed to protect the not-so-innocent. let's see. Before starting my junior year of college, I moved to the dorms a few days early to get settled. One night, I was talking to a guy named Jim who lived across the hall. He spotted a Ouija board in my closet and asked to see it. According to the instructions, we are supposed to ask the board questions while resting our fingers on a plastic disc. Since Jim's new roommate hadn't moved in yet, we asked, "What is Jim's roommate's name?" The disc guided over letters of the alphabet that were printed on the board. I felt my hand pulled from one letter to the next. I moved to R, then stopped, then to O, then stopped, and it kept going. "Robert," I cried when the disc finally landed on the T. But the board wasn't done. It moved to the letter S and stopped for good this time. "What kind of name is Robert?" I asked him. The next day, it was Jim's room, and his roommate finally showed up. "Hi, I'm Todd," he told us. "You're sure your not name is Robert?" Jim said. Todd shook his head. "No, it's Roberts with an S. How did you know my last name?" To this day, Jim swears he didn't know Todd's name beforehand and that he didn't stare the disc to spell it out. There's a part of me that doesn't believe him. Just to be on the safe side, though, at my mom's Nick's garage sale, I marked $1 on the Ouija board and was happy to see it go.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
If there's any listeners out there, do you have any Ouija board experiences?
Yeah. I was big into those growing up, but I know so many people are going to crawl in and be like, "Oh, my gosh, you just, you know, channel the devil."
Yeah,
people
you
like
know, we
okay?
did play with it quite a bit, and we had a few, like, experiences. But when you have a group of people, especially teenagers, who knows, you know, somebody's messing around. I mean, shoot, I could have been messing around with everybody.
Right. I actually had went so far as, like, making my own homemade one and getting, like, a little candle thing, lighting it, and doing it. And, yeah, I freaked myself out and put that away. I never touched it again. So playing it by myself, homemade one, not the way to go. I don't recommend it to people.
Why am I not surprised?
I know. Yeah, it was that time it told me I was going to die in a fire at age 30. And you know what? I think I'm the only person in the world who, at their 30th birthday, was so damn happy to be there. It didn't matter I turned 30. I was like, party on, I'm alive, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was probably one of the kids who messed with the other kids.
Yeah.
Just to watch them get freaked out. Yeah. I'm so bad, I know. I've grown up
time.
Since then.
But every time I try to do it with other, like, kids / girls that I knew, they would get all, like, you know, high-pitched, squealy, freaky, and, you know, especially the light as a feather thing, they'd all squeal and run the other way. I'm like, why are you doing this if you're just going to run the other way when it happens?
You know, the light as a feather stuff of the board, we did that when I was younger and with my cousins.
Right.
And they did. They had, like, the two fingers underneath me, and they actually got me lifted up into the air. I mean, and we worked on it for a long time, and I was still concentrating, and I said, you know, they had held me up, and they were, like, not putting me down. So I was like, oh, I would be like, put me down. Well, one side put me down too fast, and the other one kept me up, so my head went crashing back into the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, play children's games with
wear a helmet.
Maybe that's just me.
The administration recommends helmets be worn by all children.
Yeah, so that lead is a fetish tip as a board. I think there might be something to that.
The mind never matter thing, I totally think that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, that was just funny because it's like, put me down now, because they just want to, you know, like, hey, it's so cool, we got her.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so they had me over their heads, and my head side went down first, and my legs were still up in the air.
You know, there's a lot that I could say about that. I'm just going to not touch it right
now.
Hey, our show is marked mature, so I can say whatever I want. Okay. Also, listeners, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-595-3998, or you can go through Internet Explorer, get on the page, and click to talk, I guess. Also, eventually, when we get the hang of working all these gizmos and gadgets, we'll be live chatting during it as well. We're not quite to that point yet. We're lucky we're both on the phone.
But yeah, actually, you can just live chat your questions over. I don't know that we'll be answering. Otherwise, we'll just stop talking.
Yeah.
And you'll just hear nothing but an hour of typing back and forth.
Yeah, which, yeah, we're really good at that.
So you'll be able to IM your questions into us.
All right, next ghost story comes from Regina Paul, who is an author with Amira Press. She says that she was at a park with her family during a company picnic. I was sitting on a swing when I looked up at the swing set directly across from me. I saw a group of children that were dressed like something from the late 19th century. The oldest girl had on a big floppy bow on top of her head, and her dress was green and off-white. She had white stockings with some sort of black flats for shoes. I knew she was very sad. She didn't seem aware of me. She was pushing a small boy on one of the swings. The boy was wearing a little blue suit, complete with short pants, white shirt, and a matching blue vest and cap. Then there was a little girl, dressed similar to the other. She made eye contact with me, and I knew to stay away or she would cause me harm. They all had abnormally white skin, and even though it was sunny, the sun never seemed to touch them. I knew if I looked away, they would disappear, and I must have blinked because suddenly they're gone. I looked for them, but they just disappeared into thin air. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Ooh.
Freaky ghost kids.
Yeah, I would just be frozen staring at them.
Don't blink, don't blink.
Yeah.
You would have gone and talked to them.
Oh, I would have. I'd have been like, can you give me some tips? Because I'm really not that good on the period. Can I get some detail?
You remember when, what was it, Village of the Damned? It was a Stephen King, but it was a movie, made into a movie.
Yeah.
It came out, and it had all those like creepy blonde kids walking around.
Yes.
All my friends swore they looked like they could be mine.
Well, you know, they could. You are kind of on the pink.
Glowy side.
Yeah. Oh, yours is so much nicer. I said pasty.
I glow in the dark.
She does. Squeeze her at night, and she'll keep your light.
I'm a glowworm.
Oh, we're dating ourselves something fierce. Oh, my God.
No, they came out with him again, so it's okay.
Oh, it's okay. Like, My Little Pony came back, and, you know.
And you know what? They're just not as good as the original.
No, they never are. Yeah.
Of course, I might be a little...
Yeah. Rainbow Bright came back, and I had had the doll and the horse and that, and
I
don't know
too.
If my cousin's little one's into it now, and I think my mom maybe passed that stuff on to her, which excited her to no end, because they're kind of hard to find the horses and that for it, but... Yeah, it was
not Rainbow Bright.
I like Funky Brewster too. All right.
Yeah, we were talking about like old cartoons the other day, like Jim and the Holograms.
Oh my gosh!
Do you remember some of those?
I remember Danger Island or something being replayed on the TV early in the morning on Saturdays, and it was that really lame show with like actual people. It wasn't a cartoon, but you couldn't figure out what they were doing. They had these like tribal men and these cavemen things and. I was so incredibly lost in that. I didn't even know if the actors knew what was going on. It was that bad of a show.
Well, there was one cartoon that had, like, the Mexican jumping bean, but, I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't
It was, like, the giant bean with the eyes that kind of him and, like, the kid went around. It was, like, one of those Skeletor, Castle Grayskull, Masters of the Universe type shows, but it wasn't that.
Oh, it was like that, but it wasn't, but it was like...
All right.
I have the power. I just
opened
my hand
in the air.
The power
of Grayskull.
I just put my hand in the air.
Oh, God.
My brother was obsessed
with
those.
Do you guys, there was a movie that came out. It had Courtney Cox from Friends.
Stop it now.
That she, yeah, it was like,
no,
Masters of the Universe, and it had He-Man, and yeah.
Who was Man at Arms? Because, you know, he was kind of hot for a cartoon guy.
It was like one of those 80s movies. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
No. I mean, I probably stayed away because, like I said, my little brother was very into him, and I remember.
Well, okay, everyone, that's your assignment for this next week is to go and watch Masters of the Universe so we can laugh next week.
If you can find it, right? That can't be an easy movie to come across.
Okay, I'll give you a month.
You're going to be at the video store somewhere, and this guy who's like, clearly never left the house because he's so into this. This total movie geek is going to be standing there looking at you like, I can so read that script verbatim.
He's going to pull out a copy of it in like a plastic container going,
Oh, man, it's mint.
I've got an original 1880 or 1982 copy.
Oh my god!
No, we shouldn't make fun of the sci-fi guys. I love them.
Hey, I'm not making fun of them.
You'd be jealous. I'd be like, "Oh, can I touch it?
I have
Masters of the Universe
and mint condition things. Leave me alone, all right?"
Okay, well, I have our next ghost story.
Yes.
This one's from Nancy Lidquist. It's nancylidquist.com. And when she was 16, she says, "When I was 16, my mother died. It was a hard time for all of us, but was especially close to her and lonely. My mother had an odd sense of humor and would show it in the strange ways when she was alive, finding such unladylike things as fart jokes hysterical. About 8 months after she passed, I was especially inconsolable. Almost my birthday, I walked the house and begged the powers that be to let me know that she was still there and loved me. Our dad was out of the town on business. My sister and I were home alone, watching the Donnie and Marie show in my parents' bedroom. We were in for quite a weekend. All of a sudden, we heard the piano playing the spinning song. We'd not played the piano since she died. My mother played all the time. Holding hands, our eyes huge, we went to the family room where the piano was. Mom's music was out, the bench pushed back, and the keyboard open. The hair on her arm stood straight up. My father was in California, and the house was in a fairly remote location on the shores of Lake Michigan in a tourist town. In the winter, it's very quiet out there. Outside, the wind howled and crashed. Wind-whipped waves crashing into the shore could be heard through the walls. We calmed ourselves, telling one another that it was just a strange thing that we didn't really hear, what we thought we heard, and that one of us had left the music out. Then the toilet flushed. Again, we were alone in the house. The dog whined, and the toilet flushed again. This time, we screamed. Both of us ran to my dad's room, pulled the blankets off the bed, and huddled under it for hours. It didn't hit me until the next day that it was probably my mom letting me know that she was okay and loved us. I wish I paid more attention that night."
Aww. You know, I hate
something that you would do.
Joke, but I would so flush the toilets because,
I know,
my house, they don't. I'd be walking around going, "Yeah, I'm here, flushing."
Probably, but you know what? That's just great.
Yeah, that is.
I mean,
really,
that's just a wonderful story. And
yeah. Oh, I'm going to touch lightly upon one that my mom actually told me about this morning when she called, because she said she was listening to our show, and she's been having a rough go of it. Mom,
yay,
if you're listening,
we have a listener.
We love you, Mom. We have a listener.
Hi, Mom.
Anyways, my mom's having a rough go of it, and she was kind of, you know, at the doctor's office tonight yesterday, and she hadn't been feeling well. She'd been laying down earlier, and she was pretty sick, and she said she really felt like something was near her in the hallway, you know, outside of her room, and she sort of dismissed it, thinking, you know, clearly I've fallen off my rocker at some point. And then she said she sort of dozed off a little and felt something sort of stroking her hair and just giving her this sense that everything was going to be okay. Don't worry about it. So she's, you know, later she's at the hospital, which the doctor's office is actually within the hospital. And she's sitting there, so there's this time date stamp thing on the wall that's digital to, you know, let people know when they're signing in, what time it is, and it's pretty big and that. She said she was sitting there, and it just kept sort of getting darker and darker and darker. Now, if you know my mom, she's not one to run around and be like, "I saw a ghost." Not really my mom.
She's and, like, "I saw a craft."
Yeah, exactly. The mother said something.
Your mom's
not
great.
Really my mom. You know? So, you know, she said it was getting darker and darker, and she noticed the date, and then all of a sudden it dawned on her what the date was. It was her mother's birthday. It was yesterday. Her mother had passed away 27 years prior. And her mother had worked for many, many, many years in that very hospital. So I just thought that was kind of sweet that, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
all this would happen, and yeah.
Definitely something to think about. I mean, the whole concept of, you know, nobody really knows what happens after death.
Right.
We've all got our own theories and assumptions, but.
Right. I know I'm going to haunt Michelle, but, I mean, I'm pretty positive.
And I know that I'm going to become friends with exorcists. I mean.
Oh, shut up. You're going to buy me pots and pans if they make pasta.
Are you kidding? I'll be leaving offerings of pasta out every night.
You're going to
you know you want to cook.
You're going to be like, you know you want to pick up the house, too. Go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead.
I spilled something in the kitchen.
I still get picked on from all of you at RT about the standing in the restroom. And I think J.C. Burton and Angela James from Samhain Publishing and that. Maybe J.C. Clark, and I don't remember who else is in there with us, but we were gabbing as everyone was, you know, going about their thing and washing our hands, and I wanted to set my purse down, and there was water on the counter, so I started wiping it up, but then I just started cleaning the whole counter because I was there, and it was dirty,
mm-hmm.
And they're all looking at me like, they have people for that, what are you doing? And they're like, you're cleaning the bathroom, you idiot, and still.
Well, that's like the time where your aunt got you the present of help. like the cleaning lady,
mm-hmm.
and she was cleaning your bathroom, and you scared the poor lady off?
Yes. Well, she wiped the toilet, and then she used the same rag to wipe the sink.
Well, I mean, that is gross, but...
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I think I was hovering too much, too, and she was like, you know, really, I give.
It's just funny she didn't even get one room done, and you chased her off.
I'm done. Thanks for your help. Goodbye. And my aunt meant well. I've been helping her out a lot with some things going on in that, and she's like, I just want to do this for you to take some stress off, and, you know, this is my gift to you. And it sounded so great. You know, my own cleaning lady for a day. It sounded so cool. Then I got it.
Poor woman was probably nervous.
I know.
She's like, I've never had anybody, like, behind me the entire time, wiping up after me.
Yeah, the neighbor lady came down, and I was taking the trash cans back to the side after the trash man left. And she goes, nice glove. I looked down, and I had a latex glove. I put one on to go out because I was only using one hand to move the trash can. <It was tough. laughs> Yeah, she's like, nice glove. Yeah, I'm a freak. But
couple little neuroses.
Sprinkle a little psychotic. Okay, next story is from Elizabeth Stewart, and she writes for Allura's Cave. And I can never pronounce Allura's Cave mainstream line. Go for it, Michelle.
Is it Sairdwin?
I think it's Sairdwin, yeah. Okay, it's another mother passing away here. Here we go. My mother died unexpectedly in June 2004. My youngest son's daughter was born in November 2005, and she calls me Grammy. The family had many instances of my mother being in the house she shared with my dad for almost 40 years. I smelled her violet perfume. My grown son felt her pull his hair when no one was there, and my younger sister heard her giggling in the kitchen while she was cooking dinner. I was babysitting my granddaughter when she was just over a year. Oh, she suddenly stopped what she was doing and looked over at the front door. She tilted her head to one side and then pointed and began asking questions in her baby gibberish. I didn't see anything, but she walked over to within about 3 feet of the door and continued talking excitedly, although I didn't understand her. At the moment, I had the most distinct feeling. I heard my mother's warm, delighted, very distinctive laugh. Then the baby waved and said bye-bye and went back to what she'd been doing. I even opened the door and looked out to see if she perhaps heard someone going by. This happened 2 more times within about a month and then stopped. She'll be 2 next month and was recently in my bedroom where I keep a picture of my parents she hasn't seen before on a high shelf. She looked at the picture, smiled, pointed to my dad and said, Papa, which is what she calls him. Then she pointed to my mom and said, Mama, which is what all 10 of the grandchildren called them, but which the baby would have no way of knowing. Liz Stewart. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear that, like, the mom or the family story.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah, thank
you
for sharing
with
us.
The bed lifted and we all thought we were going to die stories. But
yeah,
we're open to those, too, if you got some calls.
Yeah, we like scary ones.
Yeah. And even if you don't have a ghost story you want to share, you just want to just say hey or whatever, feel free. And
don't leave us talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been talking to Michelle. I've been talking to her since 9:30 this morning.
Don't leave me with Mandy.
Yeah.
Help me. Save me.
That's probably what that EVP on our thing was saying. It was probably one of my trapped little vampires in the back. Like,
save me. Help us. I'm immortal and I can't take it. She's
She's dying. She can talk forever.
I can't
forever.
Die. I can't leave. I've tried. Anyway, that call-in number is 646-595-3998,
yes.
And we'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
We should also mention that all these ghost stories are going to be posted through the month of November on the Raven blog, and you can get there from going to the Raven website, which is ravenhappyhour.com.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to read over them, you know, at a slower pace and you know, maybe catch any stories that you might have missed.
You can comment on
the other podcast. Yeah, you can comment and also tell us your stories there. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's not just this time of the year. We're complete and utter weirdos. We like it any time that Christmas. Come on, tell us your ghost stories.
Yeah.
We're fine.
We love the paranormal.
Yeah, I think this is
And if you
be
happen to be
holiday.
Paranormal, we'd especially love to hear from you.
Yes, if you are, you know, in the other plane, feel free to call. I'm not sure what the charges are.
Feel free to seance yourself over.
Interdimensional plane calling.
You know what? Yeah, just EVP yourself onto the podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, next story comes from Paige McKellen, who is PaigeMcKellen.com. These are easy websites. I like them.
Yeah.
And she says, every time I think back on what happened, on what I saw, my breath catches in the back of my throat. I don't know what it was that woke me, maybe being in an unfamiliar house or a bed that was not my own. I was watching my nieces at my brother's home that night when I woke up at 3 a.m. I got up thinking I'd get a glass of water and check on the kids. On my way to the bathroom, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little girl with blonde pigtails sitting in the doorway in the dimly lit hall, combing the hair on her doll, a doll wearing a yellow dress. I caught myself before I screamed out loud and then laughed as I said, Peyton, honey, what are you doing up? The little girl looked at me and smiled as she pulled the doll tight against her chest. My name's not Peyton, she said, then disappeared. I remember shaking my head and rubbing my eyes as a sweat broke out over my chilled skin. When I could move, I ran out of the room, down the hall, and checked on the girls, finding each of them sleeping peacefully in their beds. The next morning, I got the girls up and took them down for breakfast. As I was cooking, Mackenzie, my oldest niece, ran into the kitchen. Aunt Paige, where did you find my doll? She asked. I turned away from the stove and saw Mackenzie holding a doll wearing a yellow dress. I've been looking for her everywhere, Mackenzie told me. It was a doll from last night. She found it sitting in the corner of the couch in the family room. After breakfast, I packed up the kids and took them to my house where we spent the rest of the weekend. I left the doll at home.
Oh, my God.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, you know what, though? I don't know. Maybe I'm one of those weird people that I just think, I don't know, I think I'm very welcoming. I'd almost be like, yeah, play with the kids, keep them occupied. I don't know, my luck, I would get the demonic little version of it, and, you know, or like the fire starter girl, you know, in spirit form. That's
you know, I would probably, I think I would have stayed at the house
Yeah. And
tried to get her again, unless I felt the kids were in danger.
You would have called me going,
yeah, that was my next thing. I'd be like, you need to get on a plane here.
Come
and bring
it.
Some ghost hunting equipment.
Bring it home.
I've got my TAPS interview tonight.
Yeah, you would be like, I have to stalk Grant.
I need pasta. Mr. Pasta. You're so mean to me.
Yes, I know. But that's a sign of love.
That's why I love you.
Oh, we should get to this next one here, too. Oh, I need a breath. I hate reading aloud. I'm sorry if I stumble over stuff, people. Okay, Lorraine Kennedy. I'm LorraineKennedy.com, and she's from New Concept Publishing. I can't even start to read it right. Look at that. One night some years ago, I was driving with some friends, and we passed by the local cemetery in my hometown. This is a very old, Gothic-type graveyard, and on this night, it was especially dark and spooky. As we drove slowly past the old hearse route used during the 19th century, we came across an extremely odd sight. A young girl was sitting on the curb. She appeared to be as pale as death, and her presence gave us a very eerie feeling. As we went by, the girl watched us the whole time. When we peered back through the window, she was no longer there. In a matter of just 2 or 3 seconds, she had disappeared. Later, we discovered that this cemetery has a legendary ghost by the name of Florence. This young girl was hit by a car while waiting for a ride on that very curb. Oh, that is so sad.
Oh.
Yeah, and a little creepy. Can you imagine, like, little kid, big eyes, just staring at you the whole time you're driving past? I'd be like, it's Malachi's little sister.
I would be like, oh, do you need a hug?
Michelle, stop hugging the apparitions and get back in the car.
But she's sad.
We can't take it home. It's bound to that spot. Michelle is a tent by the curb. I will hold you and love you and squeeze you. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I've got one from Denise Agnew from Allure's Cave Publishing.
Okay.
DeniseAgnew.com, that's AGNEW, and I hope I'm pronouncing that last name right. Let's see. She says that she's not sure how ghostly the story is, but she thinks it's just more creepy. Back in the late 90s, my husband and I lived in England for 3 years. On one of our travels to Edinburgh, Scotland, we took a ghost tour. During the ghost tour, one of the places we visited was the South Bridge Tunnels. Like Mary King's Close, this underground area was recently featured on the Cities of the Underworld programs on TV. Let me start by saying that I am not claustrophobic by nature. Anyone who would not want to venture into these tunnels. As the tour guide took us down the staircase, about the only light we had was the candles that lit as he went. He claimed the electricity was out. Anyhow, I was listening to the tales he told us about the life of people. Sorry, this is one of these weird font ones. Life of people once had down in the tunnels. It was a place where poor people and criminals lived in the most dire conditions for centuries. Naturally, in the best tradition of horror movies, shadows dance off the walls, and tour guides made sure to regale us with the spookiest stories. We reached one barrel vault-type room. With alarming quickness, I suddenly couldn't wait to get out of there. My hands went clammy, my breathing picked up, and my heartbeat quickened. I no longer could hear the man telling us tales. I was too busy thinking, let me out of here, let me out of here. Not wanting to create a scene, I simply concentrated on maintaining. I questioned what the heck was happening to me since I knew I wasn't claustrophobic. I hadn't responded to any of the other rooms we'd gone through, and I'd been fine seconds before. This wasn't a gradual build-up to panic. It was instantaneous. I struggled with the feeling but kept my cool, in a sense. If we left that room, the sensation started to subside, but it never left completely. When we finished the tour and finally came topside, I told my husband what had happened and how the feeling completely disappeared as soon as we left the Southbridge tunnels. For the longest time, I wondered if it was some sort of odd panic attack. I went to several other tunnels-like structures and underground structures in the UK after that and never experienced the same sensation again. When I returned to the U.S., I saw two programs that centered on the tunnels and Mary King's Close and discovered that this very same area of the Southbridge tunnels had been one of the places many people had the same experience. I wasn't the only one who had been scared out of their wits by the place. It was a strange experience, and knowing a few more things about psychic protection, if I ever went back there again, I'd probably be all right. Let's just say this horrible feeling made it into my novels, Bridge Through the Mist, which is available at Allure's Cave.
Huh.
That was from Denise.
See, I would love to do tours like that.
Mary's King's Close looks like our next stop.
There we go. We just have to get me, you know, to fly international. There we go. One little step.
Are you kidding? I'll just be happy to get you on a plane.
You need to trank me.
Done. I've so wanted to blow through somebody.
Quick she was. She's like, I've been waiting to shoot you with something.
I'm so waiting to trank somebody. I've got a taser. I can just keep zapping you all the way there.
Oh, I had a taser sound
effect. Manny smells like urine and keeps flopping around.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hold back. Do not make me throw down. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm really ticked now that I didn't get the taser sound effect up. Okay, we have one final one here with me. I don't know if Michelle has any more.
I have one more after this.
Okay. And this is one that everything is left justified, and it's in a bizarre font, so I trip up. Just expect it, okay? This is from Dawn. She is a reader, and I don't have permission to use her last name. I don't know if she'd mind or not, so we're just going to call her Dawn. And big thanks for taking time out to do this, Dawn. She sent it in, and it's, I was lounging on a sofa with my husband watching television late one night. I didn't have my daughters that evening because they were sleeping at their father's, my ex-husband's house. I glanced over and found my husband sound asleep. I must have followed shortly after. I'm not sure what woke me, but I felt as though someone was watching me. I glanced at my husband, and he was still out cold. Then I noticed the large mecha shade on the glass. I'm so not a designer, so I don't know if I pronounced that right, so excuse me. Glass windows to my right was still open. I closed them, but I still couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. My eyes found my retriever still asleep. He'd slept through, or he'll sleep through anything. I'm not sure why, but I turned my head to glance at my balcony. There was a dark shadow figure there peeking from around my daughter's bedroom wall. It was staring at me. At least I thought it was. My heart slammed against my chest so hard it hurt. I took a deep breath, closed my eyes briefly, and hoped it was my imagination. Please be gone, I prayed. My eyes opened, and the dark, clouded shadow was still there. I think it wanted to taunt me. I couldn't see its eyes or face, but as my skin tingled, I knew it wasn't good. It felt evil. Like, okay, commercial break here with me, going, ah, okay, back to the story. My hand reached out, and I shook my husband. He didn't wake. I was scared to death, and I was even more scared to glance back upstairs, but I did. It was gone. It knew I saw it, and yet it didn't care. Why did it want me to see it? Hell, maybe I was dreaming. God, I hoped I was dreaming. I finally woke my husband, but I didn't tell him. It was bad enough. I wake up during the night with a strange nightmare. He only says I need to stop reading spooky books or stop watching scary movies. I tell him I had nightmares ever since I can remember. So we go to bed. Thank God my bedroom is downstairs. It took a long time for me to fall asleep. I was up often, though. It seemed every little noise, I was leaning up on my elbows trying to listen closer. Could that be the noise of that thing? I finally fell asleep when suddenly my daughter called to me through our intercom system sitting on my nightstand. Mom, Mom, I vaguely heard. I was still half asleep. This one shook me. Hey, Maggie's calling you. I woke a little more. My daughter calls again. Mom, come upstairs, I need you. Now I set out. I'm trying to clear the sleep fog from my head. My husband nudges me. Are you going to go up and check on her? Mom, please come upstairs. I'm finally up, and I feel my heart wanting to explode inside my chest. My body began to shake terribly. I feel my eyes grow wider, and my breathing stop. I could hear my heart thumping. Thump, thump, thump. I gasp again. In a second of holding my breath, no, I whisper. My husband pats my leg. No, what? That's not Maggie. Hmm? He replies, still half asleep. The girls aren't here. They're at their dad's. Okay, again. Pause. Ooh. Okay. Just then, the voice from the intercom began to eerily laugh. It's the creepiest tone I'd ever heard in my life. I jolted out of bed, wondering if I could have been sleeping. Had I really heard this? I listened again. My husband was snoring. Quickly jumped back in bed. I didn't know what to do. I was so shook up. I wrapped his arms around me for comfort. But I knew I had to peek at the intercom. I had to see if someone was still there. I lifted my head and saw the red light was lit. That meant the talk button was on. Goosebumps ran up and down my arms and legs. I screamed in my throat. It hurt like hell. I woke my husband. I demanded that he go upstairs and check. He came down with an aggravated look. No one was there. I haven't seen the dark shadow since. Was I dreaming or not? It didn't feel like a dream, but I sure hope it was.
See, that's number one reason to get married.
Yeah, really?
You have somebody to send after the intruder.
No, you know,
whether
house,
living or dead.
In this house, my husband would be like, honey, I heard something spooky downstairs. Go look.
I'm going to go hide in the closet while you take the bat.
No, he'd be like, you take your weird self down there. It's probably someone you summoned. Go.
Tell him not after midnight.
Yeah. Wake me back up.
Inviting the undead into our home.
You know what? He could sleep through, seriously, a poltergeist slamming things into him. He wouldn't even notice. He'd be like, baby, stop kicking me. I wasn't snoring, I swear.
It was the ghost.
He hasn't slept through.
That's
going to
be my new excuse. Honey, the house was sparkling clean, but the ghost came through.
That poltergeist, damn him. He really likes to put brownies on a plate and leave them on the counter.
He ate the whole thing. Never mind, I gained 500 pounds this last week.
I think he's willing that upon me.
I was possessed. He said I couldn't share. Well, my last story that I have to share comes from Marian Steffens, from marianstephens.net, and she's published with Caredwin Press. And she says, our house ghost was Fred. My daughter had dumped her laundry on the bed, ate dinner, and then went to fold clothes. She freaked out when she found everything neatly folded. I was in the kitchen watching I Love Lucy on a remoteless old TV while doing bills at the table. Suddenly it occurred to me that Geraldo was on. I got up and realized the channel had been changed. The knob required twisting to move and made an audible click sound. I heard nothing, and it couldn't have been moved along the dial by itself. I couldn't find my large address book that was kept by the kitchen phone. My kids searched the house while I stayed in the kitchen and checked cabinets. When I walked over to my kitchen desk, there it was, right next to the phone. We were on vacation and had a responsible college student watching our house. His mother told us he freaked out one day and he found all our mail strewn over the living room area and not on the kitchen counter where he placed it. He wouldn't go into the house alone after that, so his parents took turns going with them.
Oh.
Fred, you can come clean at my house anytime.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, my luck, I'd get, like, the ghost that came with, like, 20 pets.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have enough in my house.
Yeah, you don't have enough, right? What's your count up to? 15? I swear to God.
Five dogs with the puppy. Oh, we have this, for those who don't follow my blog or, you know, me at all, we have this little M. We have two English bulldogs. You know, and they are the gassiest, snoringest animals alive.
Oh, yeah.
And
on many occasions, the one has snored during a podcast recording. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so used to it. It's just my white noise now. But they had a puppy, and we were trying for a litter, but we only got one out of the litter. So now I have a little shadow with sharp little teeth who likes to follow me around biting my toes, who's actually doing it right now.
Yeah.
And it kind of hurts. If you hear me yelping for no reason, that's why. But yes, Amanda makes fun of me because
we're... That's not all you've had. You've at some points had two prairie dogs. You've had how many cats? You've had... You have two cats, right?
We have two cats right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, the list goes on. You've had a handicapped hamster or a mouse. I can't remember what it was, and I'm not being mean.
It was
really
a little
didn't have
dwarf
back
hamster.
He couldn't move his back legs, and you guys had to, like, help him.
And yeah, his name was Legs.
Yes, yes.
And he had a cage
last
calling him
long,
when he was
though,
little.
He kind of passed pretty quick, which was sad, yeah. And what else have you had?
A wee rabbit.
Yeah.
Well, I live with people who like to take in animals.
Yeah.
I'm an animal lover by force.
We're the shelter.
Yeah, you know, growing up, we never really had that many pets. I mean, we had a few cats that ran away rather quickly. And so I'd never been used to having animals around the house, and I've gotten used to it after marrying my husband. You know, he's a big animal lover, so. Yeah, I'm kind of like a pet owner by proxy.
Yeah. I have a dog.
I love him. And I'm so used to having him around the house now, so.
I have one dog. Yeah. There you go. Yep. Yeah, she's a old English sheepdog chow mix, and she's currently passed out on the couch. I do check her occasionally for breathing because she's older, and I wonder, you know, she hadn't moved in like 8 hours. Is she still with us? But that's it.
Yeah, do you want some?
No, I'm good.
I can spare some.
While I don't dislike animals, I don't tend to gravitate towards them. They seem to
I
love
think
me.
They gravitate towards my lawn.
Yeah. Oh, they
if
love
it's me. Injured, it's like it shows up.
Yeah.
Be like, she's a sucker.
Yeah.
You have that if you're healthy, thing. She won't take you in. But
word on the street with the strays is go there.
Yeah. But if you're missing an eye or limping.
You know what? You had pictures of that little guy, and he was adorable.
That little mouse.
Yes.
With his legs.
Oh, he was so cute. And I'm not an animal fan, and I was even like, aw.
He would just, you know, use his two front paws to crawl around, and he'd crawl right onto our hands and really tame and sit there and eat on our hands. I mean, he was so tiny. He's like one of those dwarf hamsters. Yeah. I mean, just a real little thing.
Aw. Oh, I had a newt, and I've had turtles.
Yeah, you're a big reptile fan.
Yeah, any amphibian, anything like that. But someone newt-napped my newt. I kid you not. I may have told you all this before, but yeah, I was cleaning his little habitat. And I set him out because he'd like to sit in the sun. So I had cleaned his habitat, and I set him out. I was cleaning the turtles' habitat then. And I set them out, and they were so happy sitting out in the sun. And it was like a gorgeous summer day, whatever. And I go in the house, and I'm, you know, doing my normal routine. And I come back out later, and he is gone. Gone, 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 gone. And there's no way this thing can lift its own thing and unlatch its own thing, right? And the turtles are still there, but he's completely gone. So I call one of my friends, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, my newt, it's missing out of the thing. And she's like, okay, calm down, it's a newt. No, you know. And then her husband came down, who's an artist, and I didn't know he was here at the time. He was out front, and he pinned something to my door, and then goes back home, and she calls down. She's like, I need to go open your door. And I do, and he had penned and, like, sketched this age progression thing going, if found lost, call. And it was a picture of a newt with, like, a birthday hat on and a cape going, 1 year old. I was like, that's wrong. He's my newt, and he's gone, and it's wrong.
You kept it, didn't you?
I did. It was really cute.
But, you know, yeah, you laugh at me for these, you know, injured animals and, like, all these pets that we have, but
yeah.
They're not the worst that's been brought home.
Yeah.
Once my husband was on his way back with a baby tiger in his car. That
I was
somebody
have
had
to say
given
no
him.
To that.
Yeah, he said that he got about halfway home before he looked over the seat and was like, what am I doing? Michelle is going to kill me.
At least.
And he turned around and he brought it back. So at least he had the presence of mind. So, yeah, there was the almost tiger pet, which I would have had to veto because it would have ate me.
Yeah.
Either that or I would have turned it into the weeniest, you know, wimpiest tiger ever.
Yeah.
And then there was also the baby alligator incident.
Oh,
like, where are we going to keep an alligator?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
But no, he's giving them away.
I had a mud puppy that I loved. Are you familiar with what the mud puppies are? They're like the salamander type things. And they've got these, like, it almost looks like they wear a crown because up by their head, they've got these little, like, finger-like things that pop out. And they're, you know, newt-like type things. And he was the coolest thing ever, but I think he wandered out of my pond. I put him in my outside pond so he'd, like, have a better life than in a little aquarium thing. And he did. He wandered off. And I've got this image in my head of, like, somebody down the street hanging laundry and this thing slithers past, you know. They're like, what the hell? Boy, I miss my little things like that. I need a snake or something. That would be the only thing in the house no one in the house would ever play with or touch. They'd be like, no, that's mom's. We're just going to stay away. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, some of the things that we do for the podcast and stuff, and we had started the historical tidbit thing.
Yes.
And, yeah, so I think we're going to keep doing those.
Yes.
And I've got one for you that I found. It's kind of like a bizarre breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from the book, An Underground Education by Richard Zacks,
okay.
Which is basically alternative history, kind of like, you know, the stuff you don't generally find in history books.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't want you to know.
Yeah. And the title of the first article is called An Asshole Helps the Status of Surgeons, 1685.
Say no more. I'm intrigued.
But, okay, so it says, since doctors weren't allowed by the medieval church to perform surgery, someone had to, and barbers with their tantamount of sharpened instruments inherited the business. These barber surgeons cut hair, pulled teeth, removed warts, arrows, and gallstones, almost while using anesthesia or antiseptic. And it goes on and on. But what's interesting is, in the 1700s, surgeons all over Europe wanted to distance themselves from the lowly brethren, the barbers. In England, for instance, the Barber Surgeons Company split up in 1745. But what to do with the guild symbol, a red and white striped pole, meant to represent bloody rags hung out to dry, topped by a brass basin, which would catch the blood during bloodletting. Patients used to grasp the pole to make their veins swell for easier puncturing. So, Charles Pinati put in his Extraordinary Origins of Everyday Things, said, when surgeon and barber split, the barbers got the pole. So that was the origin of the barber pole. The red and white striped pole was actually a representation of the bloody rags, and the top of the pole is the basin which they used to catch blood in the Middle Ages.
Oh, my.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Can I just say that there has been numerous occasions that when my husband, prior to shaving his head bald, like Mr. Clean all the time, would come back from the barber's with quite the gouge or nick. I don't know if I want them operating on me. They can't get their cut right sometimes.
Well, you know, you always see those old Westerns where, you know, everybody goes to the barber to get their tooth pulled.
Yeah.
I just found it interesting that it originated because the church wouldn't let physicians do surgery.
Right.
So barbers did it.
Crazy.
Yeah, so, yeah, I found that completely interesting that, and then this the origin of the barber pole, because everybody sees the pole and, you know, knows exactly what it is.
Right.
So, yeah, I found that one, and I thought you would like it.
Yeah, I did like that one.
Bloody rat.
Yeah, all right, so I'm going to open now the Hippie Dictionary, and we're going to get a word out of this.
The word for the day.
Oh, we can't use that word. We're on live. We're going to make a new word.
I said asshole. You said we were mature.
So we claim.
Well, at least our rating is.
Oh, let's see. Oh, these are just lame. I don't even like this book. Forget it. It was telling me what a gizmo was. Yeah, really, I don't know. Thank you.
Oh, what was it? Nuttier than a fruitcake.
Nuttier than a fruitcake.
Nobody was injured the last couple of days by doing that little experiment, were they?
We cannot be held liable for anyone who actually was stupid enough to do that.
Hey, we have a disclaimer on there. Do not listen to anything Mandy and Michelle say.
Yeah.
Oh, except for the Masters of the Universe thing.
Yes.
But do not fight the guy with the plastic box for the movie.
Oh, my gosh. But, so what do you have coming out? Didn't you just have Stone Queen come out in print?
Yeah, Realm Immortal Book 3 just came out. It was Stone Queen. Thanks, I forgot all about it.
You're welcome. Hey, you know, I just opened the package with it in it for me.
Yeah, that came out yesterday in print.
Okay.
And you can see it on my website or my blog.
Okay.
It's from Samhain Publishing, and it's the third in the series. And I really love this series. I don't know how many people remember the movie Labyrinth with David Bowie. But this series, I loved that movie, and I know you don't like it. But
I've tried to like it.
Yeah, you tried. That's all I can ask.
Yeah.
No, I just always, you know, I always get to the end and it would be, you know, she would, you know, Sarah, the main character, would go and she was like, you have no power over me. And then it was just nothing, you know. He defeated him and stuff. I'm like, no, stay with him. Be the Goblin Queen. So this book, or this series, started as my answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Completely took a different turn. That's, you know, just basically where my brain jumped off from. Nothing like the movie, nothing like the characters, but yeah, that's kind of how the idea started and became this entire huge world where there's like four different royalties and kingdoms and, you know, queendoms and...
Queendoms.
Well, you got the Fairy Queen,
right,
which was book
right.
two, and then you've got, you know, the King of the Damned, the King of the, you know, kind of the King of Necessary Evil,
mm-hmm.
the Unblessed, and then the King of the Blessed, and... It was, yeah, it just kind of spun off from there. But, yeah, a fun series. A lot of fans who like fantasy novels tend to like these, even though there is romance in it for the romance.
Oh, and they're very dark. I like that about them.
Yeah.
They're dark and sexy. They are. There's a sexy overtone through them the whole time.
Yeah, I love the big world building. This was, you know, this and Tribes of the Vampire, this is a dark, huge world building, you know, large cast of characters.
Right.
One of my favorite books to do, so I was very excited to be able to do that series for Samhain.
Yeah. I've had The Guardians come out recently. I'm not sure when that's going to actually come out in print or not. I haven't heard yet.
And that one has a gorgeous cover.
Oh, I love the cover for that. It's about the Guardians, which they, you know, protect mankind from evil, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, humans are none the wiser to this going on. They don't know about supernaturals. They don't know at all about this. But you're really sort of, like, engrossed in the life of these guardians. And it starts with the first and only female guardian of all time. It's always been just men. So you're introduced to her, and she's, you know, living with her best friend. And, you know, to help sum it up a little, I have it where her dad is, like, a big-shot movie producer, studio owner. And, of course, she knows, like, all these actors who are famous and everything. But she's growing up around them all the time, so they're just, you know, another guy, another person. So she's in this big limelight, whatever, and she's having to kind of hide who she is in front of everyone, and it just it ends up being really fun, and there's some pleasure nymphs that come into play in it that are sort of friends and associates, and I had so much fun writing them because it was so fun to write characters that just didn't care, didn't get, they weren't bashful, they had no modesty, they're just walking around stark naked down the center of a street in California and looking at everybody like, what are you looking at?
Well, this California.
Right, true, yeah. And the lady next to him in the bikini actually only had about 3 inch more material than they did. But no, I mean, it was a lot of fun to write, and it was huge world building, and I'm actually on book, like, 5, even though book 1 has just come out, and so it's hard for me to remember what has happened and what hasn't to tell you about. But it's been a lot of fun.
So are there going to be more to this series?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I know the next book...
You signed up for the 70 Days of Sweat thing, right?
I did. I signed up. Okay.
Is that what you're going to be working on? Is Guardians 2? Or
no, I'm actually working on Magnetic Attraction to get that done. I'm on a deadline with that for Samhain. And it's the second in the Droid War series.
All right. Well, then I guess I'll forgive you for not working on the next Immortal Law.
Yeah, I've got to get that done. But, you know, I did do a little history thing on my blog about behind the story with that because, you know, I think a lot of people think maybe the idea came from like a Star Wars or a Star Trek. Okay, I've only seen the first three, the old Star Wars. And trust me, I wasn't basing anything off the R2-D2. Okay. And then the Star Trek, I've never watched any of the movies, never watched any of the newer shows, was a big fan of Captain Kirk's era. I mean, the green chick and him and those little furball things on that one. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'll stop there. So it happened because I was flipping through. I'm kind of a nerd. Okay, you can, yeah. Anyway, so I'm flipping through this science journal about medical advances and science and blah, blah, blah. And it was, you know, about 2 years ago. And I'm flipping through, and this article catches me on bionics and the future of medicine. So I'm reading through it, and I'm just thinking, wow. And it really was talking more about what we could already do. And I was amazed because I had no idea at the time that we could already, we'd begun growing skin. We'd begun, you know, testing to grow an organ, like a bladder, off of, like, your own cells, things like that. And already what, like, mechanical slash bionical, whatever, parts were doing for people. I mean, there were just so many things and how, you know, now they're advancing with being able to put things into your brain to help control all kinds of things, you know, seizures, this, that, the other thing, and they've got so much hope and, you know, all this other stuff, and, you know, they can do all these medical marvels. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, wow, this is cool. So then I start thinking, you know, what do you think they can do about 1,000 years from now? So I decided to just go ahead and write it and try. And, of course, because it was an erotic novel, I also added, you know, enlarging of certain areas. Because, hey, 1,000 years from now, any kind of medical...
Yeah, you know, there are, you know, the androids and stuff out now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one out of, where was she? She's...
Like from Japan or China.
Yeah, yeah. And if you go to my blog, actually, in the thing, I linked to her. And she's wearing, like, a I Love Hello Kitty shirt. And there's a demo. You can watch her talking and moving in that. And she's... Okay, she isn't completely lifelike, but if you've ever watched those, like, really gorgeously animated, you know, video games and that, like the Final Fantasy, the latest ones and that, just they're just a touch from looking, you know, real. She looks like that. She looks just like...
Yeah, I mean, well on the way, and, yeah. You know, several hundred years from now, you're going
right.
to have advancements
right.
in that. But you know what? It's only natural that they would take that technology and use it for the adult industry.
Yeah. So we already use that kind of, I mean, things vibrate, things are moving this way.
Are you kidding? They probably, like, they won't probably admit it, but they probably reference the adult industry's synthetic materials to make these things. Like, you know, you get a couple porn stars going in there, oh, no, you should use the latex number 697.
Yeah.
So much more lifelike.
You're not
And you can kind of get that beautiful translucence.
I just picture this thing standing there going, oil me now.
It'll come with its own oiling mechanism.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
We have about 3 minutes left in the show.
We should probably do a couple announcements. First would be the Dark Muse Society, which Mandy and I are part of, along with Aaron McCarthy, Lori Foster, Daniel Devin Quinn, Sarah Reinke. I remembered everyone.
You did. Congratulations. I didn't look at the list.
Yeah, the launch party is this coming up November 2nd.
Yeah.
About 7 to 9 in the evening at the virtual site. It'll be, you'll kind of come in and look around. The room won't, or the house won't be completely finished by then, but you'll get a good feel for everything, and there's going to be party and prizes, and you'll be able to talk with, you know, all the authors.
Right.
That's going on. Also, today is the last day of the Raven Scavenger Hunt.
Yes.
So anyone wanting to get in on that, go to ravenhappyhour.com, click on the button. There are help links to email the authors if you get stuck. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to cram in the contest today, there's still time to enter. I have a contest with Romance Junkies. You can go to my blog, michellepillow.com/blog. It'll give you links to there. There's a ton of prizes going on over there. Not all with us. I just have one donated. But if you're looking for something to do and want to win some things the month of November, mm-hmm. go check that out. And I think that's it for the contest that we have to announce.
Yeah.
We do have the author feature contest, of course, on the Raven blog, which are always ongoing.
Right.
But we love giving things away, so.
Oh, and I want to use, like, the last minute here to ask everyone to just, you know, keep the people who've lost their homes in the fires out in California in mind. I had a reader email and tell me her story about it, and it was very touching, and
yeah.
Heart goes out to them and everyone who's lost out there, because that seriously has to be devastating. 1 second it's there and it's not, and I know it's only things, but...
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, it still has
thoughts.
To be, yeah, big impact. So everyone try to keep those in your thoughts and that, because, wow, very heart-wrenching when I read that. So, but thank
yeah,
you
always
for joining.
Yeah, it makes a little more personal, too, when
yeah.
you have a reader who emails about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, big thanks for joining us and putting up with us. We'll be doing this every Wednesday from 11 to 12 Eastern Standard Time. So either avoid us like the plague, because now you know where we're at.
Mark it down on your calendar.
Yeah.
Don't be scared to call.
Yes.
We're really not that mean.
Yes. Well, we're going to be setting something up where we give prizes away, too, to callers. So, you know, not everyone, but
yeah.
Call you and Michelle. Congratulations. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I think we'll be leaving here in a second. Sometime that stupid music's supposed to play. There we go.
Thank you for joining us. See you next week.
All right, bye-bye.